This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Part of the fun is, like, as soon as the person walks in to start it, so they're like, oh, this is how we're starting. And I feel like I wasted 15 or 20 minutes, like, every time I've done this by saying, hey, man, what's up? And I'd rather just say, hey, man, what's up?
Here. Let's get started. But then it's funny because you're also popping yourself as you're editing it.
Popping myself?
Yeah, because you're listening to it, and you get to listen to your own little pleasantries as you're editing it up together.
I don't edit.
You don't.
I seriously, all I do is...
You just upload it?
Yeah, and hit the record button, and then I'll add the beginning, like the intro, like the White Dragon Podcast Network intro, and the White Dragon Podcast Network outro, and some music, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I leave it the way it is.
Fair enough.
Because I feel like that's the best way to do it, is to just talk as we talk. And
it's like calling it in the ring.
Yeah, which I'm not good at. That makes me very uncomfortable.
Calling it in the ring?
Yeah.
I like doing it every now and again. On purpose.
Like, I guess it depends, like, yeah, like what show you're doing.
Like, if it's like the afternoon show of a fair, it's really good to...
Yeah.
It's really good to just keep yourself on your toes. I did it with Hedges last year. He was so nervous.
You're talking about the Middlesex County Fair.
Yes.
That UWA Elite runs every year.
Yes.
Because not everyone knows that.
Oh.
And I honestly have no idea if anyone who is going to listen to this. You know what I mean? So I don't want to be so inside that we're talking and everyone's like, oh yeah, I know exactly what they're talking about, because they have no idea what we're talking about.
I'll be a lot more specific.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I've recorded three of these.
With
but
who?
But I haven't released any of them.
Oh.
So
are you kind of hoping for, like,
well, no, see, this is, I mean, I want to be able to stockpile a few, so that way if I want to take a break, or if I have a week where I'm not going to do one, I won't have nothing.
Gotcha.
So I'll stay ahead, that way if I do miss a week, I'll still have 3 weeks to get scared.
It's like filming 4 weeks of television in one taping.
Yeah, so I'm doing a TV taping, is what I'm doing.
Who else has done one so far?
Steve Mack, Sean Damage McNellis, and Colin West.
Nice.
Yeah, the Colin West one we did twice, because the first time we did it, it was good, but I moved things around on the computer to, like, have them all in one spot, and apparently you can't do that, because it needs data files. I have no idea how to do any of
that
stuff.
Tech junk.
Yeah, I had no idea how to do any of it. It was hilarious.
So it was funny, actually. Yesterday, Vincent Valentine, a.k.a. Kevin Kessler.
Who is the... provocateur, is that a word? That is a word. Of the White Dragon Podcast Network, which is where you can hear Arcadia Revelations.
Yeah, and apparently he had, like, a falling out with ECPW, so now he's messaging everyone in UWA Elite again after not talking to us for, like, 2 years.
Can I just say, like, how happy I am that it's you? Because, like, the other guys, I could tell they were not tiptoeing, but a little bit, like, walking on eggshells about what to say and what not to say.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to reveal too much. I kind of feel like that's not going to happen. Not going to happen here.
But that's just the thing. Kevin knows that I love him. Like, right. We're really good friends. I helped him get into wrestling and, like, train him in wrestling and stuff. But he's very wishy-washy. And so he left UWA Elite on bad terms, and then went back to ECPW.
He left on bad terms?
Yeah, Kyle and Hedges made fun of him for his weight loss thing.
So he left?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't around.
At least that's what I think that's a specific. Somebody like on Facebook said that Kevin was an inspiration for his weight loss, and Kyle and Hedges, who have actually like lost weight naturally, took offense to that because he got the gastric bypass surgery thing.
Which actually brings me to a weird point, because this is some, the podcast is not so much wrestling oriented as I mean, I want to have wrestling guests.
Yeah.
But I want to talk more about like life and stuff like that. So is it weird for, I always talk about like duality, right? And how for some reason we always have to have some sort of negative with a positive.
Yeah.
Do you think like that that's some sort of weird mindset that people who do it a certain way or that train a certain way, there always has to be the wrong way because they did it the right way?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit.
Just think that in general, that's a wrong way of doing things. It's not so much that, like, because if Hedges or if Kyle the Beast didn't do what they did, would they feel so obligated to call him out for doing it a different way?
I guess, like, it's flavors of ice cream, man. There's no right or wrong way when it comes to wrestling or the world. Like, there's certain people that like doing things a certain way, and there's certain people that like doing it another way. That worked for Kessler because Kessler was the type of person who felt that he couldn't do it himself. So that's why he did it.
Well, but do you think it was that he couldn't, he felt like he couldn't do it himself, or do you think that he just is that type of person to be like, oh, well, this is the easier option? You know, do you think he gave himself a chance to say, you know, I can't do this, or was it just, this is easier?
I don't know. I'm friends with him, but I don't know him on that kind of personal level where you can make that kind of assumption about somebody. I mean, from the outside looking in, he was always the guy that talked about losing weight and talked about wanting to eat right and exercise and just never pulling the trigger. Could have been a motivation issue. But I'm not one to judge because that has literally been me for 14 years.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to ask you the same question. Do you find yourself making decisions because it's the easier way to do things? Or do you find yourself making decisions because that's just who you are? Like, do you mentally, can you say to yourself, that would probably be easier for me, so I'll do it that way?
Do you have any language parameters on your,
No.
So, I'm a lazy piece of shit.
Right.
Yeah, I've always been a lazy piece of shit. Like, I have a personal training certification and I work in a gym and I still don't fucking work out.
Right.
And that's nobody else's fault but my own, but I also I can't get upset with people for calling me out on it. You make that decision, you open up that door. I give people workout and exercise advice all the time, and I probably look like a fucking moron. Well, somebody's from the outside looking in.
I don't feel like you have to look the part to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I mean, hell, there's basketball coaches that have never played basketball. They just studied basketball their whole lives, and they're really good from the outside in. And I feel that that's what I am, too. But...
Well, I mean, but you, I think you might be selling yourself a little short because I know you have worked out. So it's not like you never.
Oh, no, I've had times in my life where I was in shape, yeah.
Right. Well, you're saying like, these guys have never played the game, but you've played the game. You know what I mean? You have been there.
I was, going to the extreme of it, you know?
Right. Like my father, who is almost one of, not almost, but he's like one of the most winning coaches in girls' high school soccer history of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Did it because he needed the money and just bought a book and he didn't know anything about soccer. You know what I mean?
So you're telling me your dad didn't play girls soccer?
He didn't play soccer in general. He was a baseball guy and he was like, okay, I need extra money outside of baseball season. And he bought a How to Coach Soccer book and now he's got 400 career wins.
Yeah. The thing I think it really just boils down to when you're in the world of professional wrestling and we know it because we all came up together. You need thick skin. We all make fun of each other about everything, personal lives, just bullshit stuff. And I think the fact Kessler doesn't have thick skin. When people make fun of him, he has the tendency of getting upset about it, and that's fine. That's his personality. But I don't like the fact that like. He closed the door on UWA people to go do his thing in ECPW, and now that things didn't work out there, literally messaged everyone in the same week that he hasn't talked to in like such a long time.
Right.
Because now that option's gone, so he's going to try to come back to UWA. And from what I hear, he's going to commentate the anniversary show. That's what I don't agree with. Like, that's the thing. And this, actually, this whole conversation, this is even what I was getting to. And I chatted with him yesterday. He's like, oh, yeah, like, I've been producing Arcadia's podcast on my network and blah, blah, blah. I'll put in a word for you, see if he'll have you on.
He didn't.
But this was yesterday, and this is after you already asked me.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that's funny, because I'm going to do that.
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to him about any guests. I mean, listen, I'm not closed off to people that he would probably want on. Like, yeah. I'm sure that he's got friends in the wrestling business that he would want on. But I'm more interested in interesting people, yeah, instead of, like, wrestlers. Like, I'm sure I could have, you know, anyone on that's a great wrestler, but can they talk?
Exactly.
And I didn't want to throw a name out there, but I mean, I'm sure we can all think of people that would be great in the ring, but you bring them here and they just be like, for
like,
an hour.
Yes and no and ums all the whole
right.
Time.
And I feel like,
plus there's 8 million wrestling podcasts that are just all about
wrestling
with wrestlers.
And this exact example I've used every time anyone's been on, and to explain it perfectly, I don't want it to be, hey, this is what happened on Raw this week, and this is what, like, you know what I mean? There's way too many of those out there. And even if there's interview shows on, sometimes they talk about their wrestling lives, and I'm not really interested in people's wrestling lives, because honestly, besides me wrestling, I'm not really interested in wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've never really been interested in wrestling itself as much as I enjoy performing myself, and I enjoy the challenge of trying to do something new and different. You know, I've never been, I mean, I told Steve Mack the same exact thing. I was a huge fan growing up, but once I hit the certain age to be a wrestler, I never really watched wrestling where it was like, oh my God, did you see this? Or, oh my God, did you see this?
Yeah.
It's never been, the wrestling business has never been the inspiration behind me wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the exact same way. I had no aspirations to be a professional wrestler. A lot of people are always like, oh, so like, what made you want to be a wrestler? And I say nothing. Like, I had no interest in being a wrestler. I was a wrestling fan. I enjoyed watching it. I didn't even backyard wrestle. I didn't backyard wrestle till after I started wrestling training. Like, I went backwards.
Yeah.
But I just went to an indie show one day because my girlfriend was friends with Dixie and Insane Dragon from Jersey All Pro Wrestling. And she knew I was a wrestling fan, invited me to the show. And then during intermission, they just announced that they were opening up a wrestling school. And I was like, heh, fuck it. And then I did it, and I liked it. But I've always loved more so the social aspect of wrestling. 95% of my friends right now are wrestlers. Like, I go to wrestling weddings all the time. Like, we hang out. But what I don't like is the hangouts always turn into wrestle talk. Like, I want an opportunity that I could just, like, hang out with my friends and not just talk about wrestling or the storylines that are going on. And
it's it's tough to not talk about wrestling when you're projecting the wrestling show that you just wrestled with the guys that you're with,
yes,
on, you know what I mean? That's, yes, that's a tough thing to do.
I'm saying that's what every hangout turns into.
Right.
Even
well, because
that's not the goal.
Obviously there's mutual ground and you always revert to what you know that person for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a prime example of that is, this is the second appearance that my dog has had on the show. Steve Mack, for some reason, the door swung open and Steve was like, oh, hey, here's the dog. Actually, and Colin West mentioned it, because when he first sat down, he said that my dog attacked him on the throat because the nail scraped his neck. So actually, Charlie, the German Shepherd, is becoming a recurring guest on Arcadia Revelations. But anyway, so back to what I was going to say is, what were we talking about? Because the dog
just distracted
me.
You,
yes,
off of your line. We're talking about the common ground of wrestling when outside of wrestling.
Okay, so. People that you hang out with,
yes,
right, and stuff like that, you always revert back to what you relate on. So whenever I hang out with Jay Lethal, he'll bring up conversations that we had 8 years ago and things that we laughed together about. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we rarely talk about things that are new, and we always revert back to the conversations that we had when we were 21 or 23, which is weird to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the same way it is with wrestling. You hang out with wrestlers. If there's if it's just me and you, I don't think we would talk about wrestling. But if there's six or seven of us, and the only thing that all of us have in common is that we wrestle for the same company, I think that it's bound to go that way.
I just think that we all have a lot more in common than we give ourselves credit for, and we just use wrestling because it's easy. And That's not what I want, Seth. Yesterday I had a bunch of people over. Again, this is becoming like a weekly occurrence. Like 15 people show up.
It's a blast. I had a blast.
Yeah. We have a fire at my house, but you have like Dana and Laura are two girlfriends not involved in wrestling. They're just fans. You got this guy, John E., who's a wrestling dude's roommate, and they're not wrestlers. And I try to look at it from their perspective. Like, God, why won't they shut the fuck up about wrestling and just hang out?
Right.
Because that's how I feel sometimes. I'm a wrestler, and I almost kind of hate wrestling sometimes. Because that's all I hear.
But you got to pick and choose. Like, so I know if I go to a certain place and hang out with certain people that that's all they have.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about. Like, yeah. I mean, for example, if you hang out with Tech, you're going to talk about wrestling or history. You know, you're going to talk about how, you know, Andrew Jackson was a drunk and wiped out the entire Indian race. Or you're going to talk about how he takes 30 seconds to jump off the top rope when he's about to do the cannonball. Like, there's two options with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to go out of my way lately to try to start conversations that don't have to do with wrestling. Because there's been a lot more hangouts lately than there were in the past for some reason. Like, the past couple of months, there's been, like, a lot of really cool hangouts.
Well, I mean, it's summer.
Yeah.
So, or it's beginning to be summer, so people are going to start wanting to hang out more outside and stuff like that. So, obviously, that's when the more hangouts happen. I'm going to get this dog out of here.
Or like, when we went to Jay O'Neill's after the one UWA show, and it was probably, like, the most fun we ever had at Jay O'Neill's. Like, just, like, 18 wrestlers taking over the bar and singing karaoke to Brandon.
Yeah, see,
Kirk.
But that's what I love about. See, that's what I love about wrestling is after the show we go back to somewhere and we took over the bar. It's the bar that I happen to work at, but we took over. It was 18 of us and two random people, and those two random people were like, "All right, we're out of here," because all these people know each other. But that's when I have a blast. You know, you hang out, you sing karaoke with. I don't sing karaoke because I'm terrible and I'm completely self-conscious about it. Is that a weird thing? Because let's go that way. Is it very weird that I'm willing to put on basically my underwear and wrestle and act in front of people, but my singing voice scares the shit out of me? And revealing my singing voice to other people scares the shit out of me.
No, and I'm the same way, even though I actually think I have a relatively decent singing voice. Just the idea of singing in front of people makes me want to, like, chop my head off.
Right, it's so vulnerable.
Yeah, and I don't even wrestle in my underwear.
Yeah,
I
do.
I'm fully clothed.
You're like wearing a business suit. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Oh, speaking of business suits, that guy that you wrestled at Skate and Surf.
Oh, Maxwell Chicago.
Oh, he was on another planet.
Not only did he grab my dick a few times, but I'm sure he grabbed other people's dicks a few times. And he couldn't stop talking about dicks.
No.
Like, that's every time we would call a spot, it would be like, all right, so what do you want to do? Let's do, I don't know, drop down, leapfrog, arm drag, and hold it. All right, after that, I'm going to fuck you. Like, that's where he went every time.
And for people who may not be familiar with him, this is a man. He wears a full body suit, like spandex suit, and his gimmick is that he's a lounge singer. And it was
hilarious.
The first time anyone ever met him because he's from, like, the Florida area.
Yeah, Florida.
And he comes up. And literally just, he was acting like he'd been in the locker room and we've all been, like, best friends since high school. He was, like, such a cool guy to have, but he was on another planet.
Yeah, he was
man.
Serious for 1 second. It wasn't even, like, you know how you, right after your match, you feel good and you talk to the guy and you're like, oh, thanks, this is awesome, blah, blah, blah. And then that's usually your revealing moment where, like, if you were joking around the whole time, you would say, like, oh, I had a great time. He didn't say it then. It was probably about 3 hours later. He just tapped me on the shoulder and was like, man, I'd wrestle you anytime. And then just walked away. Like, he had been grabbing my dick the entire day, telling me that he wanted to fuck me. And then, all of a sudden, hey man, I'd wrestle you anytime. And then walks away. Like, that was his moment. It was so weird.
You weren't there for the final show, right? The nighttime show?
I was. Not the entire show. I stayed for a little bit, but not.
Were you there for when Chicago saw X-Pac come out? Oh my God. I swear to God, he was doing laps around the fairground, just going, "Hey, you, suck it, 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 suck it." He tried to give me a shoot X factor, like, on the ground.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised he didn't try to Bronco bust anybody.
I swear to God, it was one of the most surreal moments in my life. Because everybody, like, we were all looking from a distance. We saw this guy literally just going, "Suck it, suck it, suck it." We didn't know it was him.
Oh, you didn't know it was him?
Yeah, so from a distance, we're like, "Who is that fucking Mark?" And then he, like, hops over the guardrail to our side, tells us all to suck it, and then tries to give me an X factor.
But no, we were me, Pinky, Jaka, when X-Pac first showed up. And this is like, it's hilarious that I'm about to turn 32 and I still act like a 12-year-old in certain situations. And this is the most. X-Pac showed up, sat down. Every time he looked the other way, we were crotch chopping at him. Like, "Suck it, suck it." And then he would look and we'd be like, "Oh, okay." We put our hands behind our head, like, "No, we're cool. We're not doing nothing." And then he would look the other way. "Suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it." We would do that all. It was hilarious.
My favorite part about, like, X-Pac's integration lately, because he's been around a lot more.
It's amazing.
And I've actually gotten to, like, hang out with him. He went on, like, a 3-hour road trip in our car once up to Buffalo. And I just think it's hilarious because every time I look at X-Pac, I think of Mike Dahl, Cypress, our friend, who to this day,
name?
His email is still like X-Pac2 for life or some shit.
No, I refuse to say X-Pac2 for life because that's what it is. So every time I see him, I say his email address is X-Pac24Life because he says, "No, it's 2 for life." So I refuse. I will not give him the benefit. I will say it's 24Life.
Like, I love the fact that Cypress's two favorite wrestlers are X-Pac and D'Lo Brown.
Yeah. Like, I was a huge D'Lo Brown fan.
But, like, when you ask somebody, like, "Who's your favorite wrestler of all time?"
It's Bret Hart, it's Shawn Michaels, it's Hulk Hogan.
No, it's X-Pac and D'Lo Brown.
Oh, who's your weirdest, like, taste? If someone asked you, like, "Oh, who's your favorite wrestler?" This is the name you would throw out to make them completely confused. But you really do enjoy them.
My actual favorite confuses people because somebody's like, "Oh, yeah, who's your favorite?"
Well, I know yours,
like,
right?
Inspired. It's Raven.
Yeah, Raven.
So a lot of people don't expect that. I mean, because he wasn't really a wrestler. You know, he wasn't like a technical. And a lot of people could look at him and be like, he wasn't even really that good. But he was the first person to really make me take notice of character, and presentation, and speaking. Because to me, like. He took what Jake Roberts started when it came to promos and continued that trend. Like, you heard what he said and it resonated. It felt real. Like, I legitimately thought that Raven and Tommy Dreamer hated one another. I legitimately thought, even though that, like, we know wrestling's fake, I thought Tommy Dreamer and Raven, like, had legit beef.
Yeah.
And so he was the first person that to really, after I was smart to wrestling, he was the first person that made me question.
Speaking of Raven, one of my favorite wrestling stories.
Oh God!
Is Jersey All Pro Wrestling? Do you remember? Were you privy to this story?
What the,
it was
the it, Raven and Wendy thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, not so much that they had a thing.
They didn't.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying like it wasn't a thing, but it was just hilarious. She's sitting there in the locker room, and he walks up, and I'm sure he was just hitting on her, but he sees her shoes, and he goes, "Hey, I like your shoes." And we were all looking at each other, because we're all standing there. It's not like they were just alone. Do they make them in men's? They were like furry Uggs, I think, and he just, I don't know, he just stared at them. I don't know if he was really just interested in the shoes or if it was because she's a girl and he was into her. Well, but it was just funny to me. He's just like, "Hey, nice shoes. Do they make those in men's?" Like, Raven.
Yeah. I was in the locker room for when he said that, and he actually had a couple of other quips with her over, like, just weird random one-liners. And I remember just sitting in the back of the locker room thinking, like, this is my inspiration to wrestling, hitting on my girlfriend. Like, should I be like,
yeah,
like, is this cool or should I be mad, like, or like honored?
Yeah, it's got to be a weird moment. I mean, because listen, as much as they are these guys that we've watched on TV since we were 12, and he was your inspiration to wrestle, and your name, I mean, Corvus means Raven, you know, Eric Corvus. But the thing that always gets me is that these are real people, you know, and as much as you never really get it until things, you know, click in your brain. And the one thing that clicked for me is now on NXT, seeing all these guys that I've wrestled multiple times. Like, it's not like, oh, I met that guy once. Like, no, these are guys that I had programs with, or like, and that's crazy to me that now you're thinking to yourself, someone thinks that way about X-Pac, and someone thinks that way about Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Like, someone grew up with Hulk Hogan, and they're like, ah, it's fucking Terry Asshole Bollea. This guy used to, like, pull my pants down in San Diego Heist. Like, that's who they are. So, like, these are just people. And the biggest thing for me was at Skate and Surf when Jake Roberts is hanging out with us for 12 hours a day in 2 days in a row, and that X-Pac walks in, sits down, and just stares at the grass for 20 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, like, what's happening right now? You know, like, moments like that, they make you think about how all these guys could be up here for everyone, but they're just guys. They're just people. It's so weird to think of, because when they're on TV, it's not like that for you. No. You never think people have, especially that's why Twitter is so huge with people ripping other people to shreds. You know, it's just, you don't have that connection where you can tell that people, and I'm sure that there are people that, whoa, I just knocked the microphone over. There are people, and I'll be the first person to admit that I'm no superstar, but there are people that think that way of me. You know, there's those four or five kids that come to every UWA Elite show, and we make their day just by high-fiving them.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy to me that I'm a guy with daily struggles, just like X-Pac is a guy with daily struggles, but he just happens to perform in front of 60,000 people every time he goes out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just a crazy thing.
I remember the first time, not in a wrestling show, I was like walking through Woodbridge Mall and somebody was like, hey, Corbett, what's up, man? And I remember, like, that was probably my most surreal moment ever in my life.
Yeah, I think my favorite one was Seaside Boardwalk. I'm walking down the boardwalk with my girlfriend at the time, now fiance, but we're walking in the boardwalk, and the guy who's running the wheel, like the spin wheel, he's got the microphone on. Seriously, he just yells, okay! And I hear it through the microphone. I'm like, what the hell? So this guy, he jumps out of his booth, and he runs down to say hello to me. Like, if that isn't the weirdest moment in your life that someone was so excited to see you that you don't have any idea who they are, left their job to come see you. That's ridiculous.
It's such a surreal moment. And then it's cool, like, going back to what you were saying, seeing those guys, like seeing Ring of Honor on TV the other night and seeing like Lethal on television
again.
Like, I was there when Lethal took his first bump at Jersey All Pro. Like, that's such a cool feeling, because it almost makes you feel like a part of it. Like, oh, my boy made it. Like, it's really cool. I mean, it's not like Lethal hadn't already made it.
Right.
Like, not, but, I mean, he was on TNA and all that stuff. But it just, each time.
Dude, the guy beat Ric Flair. Jesus Christ.
But it's the same thing with, like, a lot of those NXT guys. Like, I had a huge program with Sami Callihan.
Who's now, what's his name now?
Solomon Crowe.
Solomon Crowe.
I wrestled, me and Quest beat Solomon Crowe and Dean Ambrose at Jersey All Pro.
Yeah, I remember that show.
And now you see Moxley with the title on WWE. Like, that's crazy.
That's insane to me.
Like, there's literally, like, saying, like, without being, like, a mark, like, that's fucking really cool, man.
Yeah, it's
like,
awesome.
Somebody that you shared a ring with took that ball all the way to the top of the mountain.
And you know what it is, too, is that I was texting Jocka the other night during Ring of Honor, because it made me, and it was the first time I think I really let it sink in how close we are to that. You know what I mean? Like, yes, we're not signed. We're never, I mean, I'm never going to get signed.
Oh, I know I'm not.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
But that's not as far away as we always thought it was.
Yeah.
Because you're watching these guys on TV, and for me, I always felt like that was something unattainable. And maybe that's why I never did try as hard as I could to get to that next level. But I always assumed it, or it always looked to me as being unattainable. And I was never close to those guys. But talent-wise, and I think now, You know, I think that we're a lot closer than we ever thought we were.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe if we would have put some extra fucking effort in, then we would have been able to maybe have a chance. And I'm not saying I would have ever made it, because I don't think I ever would have. And I don't think it's a life that I would have liked, being on the road all the time and doing all that stuff. But, you know, maybe I could have. I never know. You never know, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I had a conversation with somebody about this the other day.
Who?
Nobody that's from my job.
Okay.
But I brought up, like, you, me, and Quest specifically, and, like, without sucking our own dicks, like, I think mm-hmm. that we're the three best New Jersey wrestlers that will never make it. Because that mm-hmm. was never our goal. Like, yeah. Our goal was wrestling. The act of it. Didn't matter where, didn't matter for who. We just loved wrestling. But we never, ever put the amount of effort that we could have to make it to where we should have been.
Right.
Like, I easily think that if the three of us, like, actually took it seriously, and I'm not saying that we don't take it seriously, but if we really, like, went that extra
if we took the hunger to be greater than we were
yes.
in the grand scheme of things, not in the ring, because I had this conversation with Steve Mack on this podcast that he always said that he was pushing me and that he wished I was more hungry when I was younger, and I said, listen, everyone has different goals, and maybe it's a loser mentality when it comes to WWE or other people that measure their success with being on television. But that was never my goal. My goal was to go out, and yes, I want to wrestle in front of thousands of people? Like, yeah, that would have been awesome. But my goal was always to just do what I did and be really good at it. And it wasn't ever to achieve WWE or Ring of Honor. Well, I mean, Ring of Honor went out the window for me a long time ago, but, and I'll tell you that story if you want, but that was never my ultimate goal. It was never to be on TNA or TV or WWE. It just never was my goal.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, if that was our goals, like, we could have. I think that we could have. But I'm happy putting on the best matches that I can, and I think it was because we don't play the game. Like, I don't play the try to get me booked for, hey, you're my friend, can you try to get me booked here? Or sending out tapes to places and asking for bookings and trying to play the politic game. And
which is weird because you're that guy for other people.
Yeah. But
you know what I mean?
As like an offer. Like, right. I'll hit people up and be like, hey, yo, come do this show.
Right.
Just because, like, I love being able to use my positions, places to help my friends. Because no matter what job you do, whether it's any sports teams or anything, you want to help your friends. You want to see your friends succeed. You want to be able to spend moments that you're enjoying with the people you care about. So that's why I always try to help people out. But I don't play that game. I never did.
Which is so weird. I've never understood your – I'm trying to use the right word. Not mindset, but I've never understood your motives when it came to – because without just coming out and saying you've had a bad reputation for some reason. And I'm not talking personally. I'm saying just in general, in wrestling, for some reason you've had a bad reputation. Uh-huh. And I don't know why. Because I've never seen you do anything vindictive to anyone. And maybe that's why. Because you have to do that kind of stuff. But you know what I mean? I've never seen you... And now that I'm sitting here with you and I'm trying to go back in my mind and think of times that you've done anything in wrestling, I can't really think of things that would have hindered your success or, you know, held you back from doing anything. Like, you've never been a dick to anyone inside of wrestling. Yes, sometimes you come off sarcastic and you come off like you know more than everyone else. Not everyone else, but like the guys that are below you, which you do. But to come off that way is a different way than just knowing you do.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything that would be that way.
I never understood my bad reputation in wrestling.
I understand your bad reputation outside of wrestling just because of personal things that we've had happen 10 years ago.
Yeah, but like, though that was outside of wrestling, but trickled into wrestling. For the people that are watching, basically, like, I was in a relationship inside the business and I cheated on her. but this was after integrating her into wrestling, and we shared all the same friends, so everybody looked at me as a dick because of what I did, because I was. And then that reputation spread out to wrestling from there, because that took over Ace, that took over Jersey All Pro Wrestling, that took over all these different companies, was that I was a huge dick. And I never thought that that should have had any bearing on what people's opinions of me were as far as wrestling goes, because that has nothing to do with it. As far as wrestling goes, I do everything I can to help people. And I know that sometimes when I give advice or when I'm talking to people, it comes across as I think that I know more than them.
Which is the basis of the business is to learn from the people that came before you. So I don't think you're doing anything wrong there. I think sometimes maybe it's just the way you say it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a sugarcoater, so I really think that's what it is. It's right. Like, I'm not afraid to speak. Like, everybody throws that, like, oh, I'm not afraid to speak my mind. Like, I say what I feel. Like, right. No, you don't. Like, you bite your tongue in front of certain people, and I don't. I don't have a filter. Thanks,
right, 'cause
thanks, Mom.
Even well, even Sean, when he was here, Sean McNellis said to me that I'm that type of guy that just says the way it is, and I don't think that about myself at all. I don't think I'm that guy. Mm-mm. Because I don't think I've ever been that guy where I've just and even in moments where I should be that guy, I'm still not that guy. So I don't know where I've gotten. I mean, I don't know. It's always a tricky thing. It's always a weird thing to figure out why people feel the way they do about you.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it was because, like, you were a little introverted in the beginning. You were a little bit shy with the people that you weren't really comfortable with. And, like, wrestling locker rooms are not shy places. Everybody's super loud and extroverted, and you have, like, a million different, like, Pinky Sanchez's running around, and you were kind of quiet into yourself at first.
Well, that's when, I mean, I think that happens when I'm in locker rooms where I feel inferior.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like walking into a Jersey All-Pro wrestling locker room for a guy who watched Jersey All-Pro a couple shows and NWS when it was NWA Jersey. Like that was my lifeline for wrestling at the time.
Yeah.
And you see guys like Low-Ki and Homicide, and they're the guys that are running the locker room. Like, yeah, like I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And do, you know, what I'm here to do. You know, I never, and I'm a terrible politicker, so I keep my mouth shut when it comes to stuff like that. So, I mean, maybe that's why I have the reputation that I do. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty well liked in the wrestling business, and I think that it's because I love to have a good time. I'm pretty positive, and I don't shit on anyone because whatever, like, that's their own thing. And maybe there was a time that I did shit on people. But I can't think of a time where I did it in public. You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, everybody talks shit. It's who you talk shit to and where you talk shit. Like, the only time you should ever talk shit is in the car on the way home from a show.
Right. With someone who's not involved with wrestling, so they can't. Like, exactly. I will bitch to my fiance all the time about who and what and where. And, I mean, she doesn't know any of them, or she doesn't talk to any of them. Yeah. So it's easy to do that. When you talk shit to the people who are also friends with other people, that's when things go crazy.
And it's also funny because, like, how I brought up the similarities between, like, you, myself, and Mike Quest, all of us are with women who hate wrestling, who have no interest in it outside of a supportive role.
Right.
Like, they're not wrestling fans.
Well, no, see,
they're not going to be watching Raw. Like,
there's a difference, though, there, because Quest's wife hates wrestling,
yes,
and she wants him out in the worst way.
Yeah.
Like, every time you even mention wrestling, she's like, oh, my God, let's not talk about this. All right, so I want to get off of wrestling.
Yes.
Well, actually, not off of wrestling, but off of, like, wrestling mindsets. I personally, and this is part of the reason why I started this podcast, is it has no reason for getting people to listen to it, and more of asking people like questions that I've always wanted to know the answer to.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And now that there's a microphone, maybe you'd be more revealing, because that's the whole point of this podcast, is for you to reveal things.
Revelation.
Yeah, hold on. This is the first time I'm going to do this, and I hope people don't think less of me for this. Oh, yeah. By the way, rookie mistake, too, because now I have to sit here.
Yes.
Where I just
literally farted. Just crop dusted yourself.
All right, so
that was a great first question, though.
So here's my question. And it's not even a question. It's more of just a how do you feel about this?
Okay.
So you mentioned Jay.
Yes.
Lethal. You mentioned Wendy, who wrestled as Alexa.
Yeah.
And Alexa Jade when she got her one match in TNA. I don't even.
Two.
Two?
She wrestled Gail Kim and she wrestled Amazing Kong.
I know she wrestled Kong. I don't remember the Gail Kim match. But then she also went to Japan.
Yes. And Shimmer.
And Shimmer. And pretty much she did the things that you could do as a woman wrestler without getting into Ring of Honor or, you know, something else. I'm sure that there are 20 more guys that I can name that you came before, that you helped train in a way. Mm-hmm. Bull Dempsey, who's now in WWE. You know what I mean? But like those, that's a guy that you had a hand in when he first started wrestling. Yeah. You were there. Is it a sad feeling to be the guy who helps everyone else get to the next level but never gets to that next level himself?
No, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about before. I like helping people. I like training people. I like giving people ideas on gear and music and moves and character. Like, I like that. When I can help somebody and then they go on, like, I'm not helping them in, like, your goal when you're helping somebody is to make them better. You can't resent them for taking the tools you gave them and doing well with it.
Right, but not...
I never had the, like, it's almost like they deserve to be there because they were driven to get there. They wanted to be there. I did it.
Right, but well, but in Alexa's Clinton case, I'm just going to call her Alexa because that's what people know her as. In her case, I don't think her goal was ever to get there. It was just kind of people noticed that she was doing things the right way and were like, hey, do you want to do this? Hey, do you... like, how did she even get on TNA? Did they called her, right?
I wasn't with her at that time.
Oh, so you don't even know.
No. That big influx of success happened right after me and her broke up. So, I mean, part of me kind of felt like, because I'm the one who brought her into wrestling. Right. She wasn't involved in wrestling at all.
Yeah, and the only time I remember I met her the first time was at a BWO show.
Yeah.
So I mean,
and so she came. She was a wrestling fan. She loved Lita and was like that type of chick. Saw that I was doing it. She was coming to all the shows. Wanted to give it a try. So I started training her. She picked it up really well, and she was a beautiful girl and was super athletic.
Is a beautiful girl.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking in the past.
Right.
And she just did really well. And I think like after we broke up, she like almost wanted to be better than me and wanted to go off. Like, cause once she did it, she was just like, okay, cool. Deuces. Like, I'm good. Like, I accomplished everything that I could.
Which is such a weird walk off that she had. It was kind of like,
and hasn't come back.
Nothing. I don't think she has any interest in, because she's one of those people that was in the wrestling business. And like you said, to bring it back full circle, that like sometimes you're around people that you, because outside of wrestling, we were friends, but the only reason why I knew her was because of wrestling. And when I do see her in like friendly gatherings, wrestling is not even a topic.
No.
And so it's not even on her mind.
Yeah. And that's all, like, to me, like, I've never looked at Wendy's success and Wendy walking away from it, Alexa, as a slap in the face. I've never looked at it and was jealous. I've never looked at it with disdain. I'm still to this day proud of everything that she accomplished. She took the ball that I gave her and she went to the moon, man. Like, I watched, like, even though we broke up and all this, like, I watched.
Oh, yeah, how could you not?
I watched every TNA match that she had live, anything that she was doing in Japan. Like, I made sure to find footage of it. Because
I've never seen her Japanese stuff. You've seen it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know where the footage is anymore.
I'd be interested to see it.
But I was proud of that. I was a part of that. And I have no reason to have any vengeful thoughts about Alexa at all.
Right.
I was the one who fucked up.
Right.
The only thing that I regret about the situation is what it did to her at the time, and then the friends that I lost because of it.
Right.
Like, she got a lot of friends in the divorce, you know?
Yeah, but...
It took a while to recover from that.
Okay.
It took a while. Like, I, just in the past 3 or 4 years, have gotten reintegrated into that particular circle of people.
Okay.
but it's still uncomfortable.
Is it uncomfortable with her around, or is it uncomfortable just in general?
I'm not uncomfortable when she's around at all. Her presence does not make me uncomfortable. It's how she treats me still 10 years later, and everybody else knowing the history.
Right.
If we're in the same room, everyone feels uncomfortable because it's like, oh, it's Corvus and Alexa, it's Roach and Eric. I mean, Roach and Wendy.
And I'm going to admit something because we're talking on some, I guess maybe five people might hear this, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Whenever that situation happens, whenever you're in the same room, it's like Christmas morning to me. And I don't know why, because I kind of feel like I like that tension. Not between you and her, but knowing that other people feel the tension. They're like,
yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen here.
Oh, remember the awards dinner?
Yes, it was awesome.
That the only person that I felt bad for was Heather, the girl who I had started dating. Yeah. We were dating.
No one ever thinks about
them.
We
were dating like 4 or 5 months, and then and she gets like privy to all of this information now. And,
right.
And I get really.
Well, I mean, it's fair. It's like, fair, though.
You're not going to offend me.
Right.
Like, there's nothing that anyone's going to say that's going to offend me.
I don't think I've ever seen you offended.
I don't. It's such a pointless emotion.
Right.
Being offended.
I get offended all the time.
I just don't give a shit. I just wish that we can be cordial and civil. And girl can't even say hello to me. Right. Like, if we're in your, like, wrestle handshake line, she will literally be like, hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, and you didn't see the facial expression I just made, but it was just disdain.
Right,
still
but listen,
to this
it's...
day, I get looked at with disdain. And everybody who knows me now and knew me then knows I'm a completely different person than I ever used to be.
Right.
I'm much more caring, I'm much more honest, and I'm not a womanizing piece of shit like I used to be. I was like a terrible womanizer.
Right.
And that has changed over
but
the
where
years.
Do you think that came from? Like, was there something... Because obviously...
Like, why did I cheat?
Not even why did you cheat, but why were you always cheating? You know what I mean? Because it wasn't just her. And I mean, she might feel like it's a personal attack on her because you were together at the time. But before her...
She was the first girl I ever cheated.
Really?
Yeah. The girl before...
Maybe you were single all of those times.
No. Because remember, I dated Tony for a little bit. I dated this other girl, Dana, that nobody met or remembers. Wendy was the first girl I ever cheated on, and I want to hear why. I don't know if I ever told you why.
No.
The stupidest reason.
Well, don't say any names because I don't want anybody.
Oh,
to
no,
know.
No, no, no! Okay. I'm not going to say any names.
Right.
The reason that I cheated was about a year into me and Alexa dating before I had ever cheated on her, because me and her were together for almost 3 years. Before I ever cheated on her, about a year in, I realized like this was the girl I wanted to spend my life with, and that scared the shit out of me because the insecure asshole in me was like, I haven't hooked up with nearly as many girls as I thought I was going to before I settled down.
Right.
So the goal was, I want to get this out of my system so I could settle down with this girl.
Oh, but that's...
I know, it's such a warped way of thinking, and I'm not saying that it's an okay reason.
Right.
But that was my mindset at the time.
Wow.
I wanted to get my jollies, and the funny part is, I did.
Yeah, but...
Like, I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to cheat. I've gotten it out of my system. And this was before she found out about everything.
Right.
And I was ready to propose to marry her. Did you ever hear the New Year's story?
No.
Oh, man, this is the best story. All
yes.
right.
Yes,
so,
this is so much fun.
So here's what happened. I got it out of my system, hooked up with whoever I hooked up with, blah, 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 to the point where I had no urge for anyone other than her. Bought an engagement ring. Show up at Swan's house for ECW December to Dismember, where you and TJ show up. And you and TJ never came to those things, really. So, like, I knew something was up. And she found out. I won't go into how she found out. Was not happy. But we were still hanging out and still trying to work through it for like a month.
Right.
But I was getting nowhere. I was making no headway, no anything. Like, we were hanging out, but it was just as friends, not as a relationship. Then she asks me to hang out on New Year's alone. And I'm like, thank God. Like,
you're like, yes,
she's like, nobody finally wants to hang out on New Year's by right. themselves if there's not something. So then, so we hang out. Ball drops, and we kiss. I'm like, thank God. Like, I fucked up so bad. I thought I was going to have to deal with that pain for the rest of my life. Like, this sigh of relief comes over me. So I go into the room. I have my room all set up with candles. She walks in. I'm on my knee with the ring. And she just, no. Like, no. What, are you crazy? Like, you cheated on me. Like, you're an idiot. Kneels down on the floor with me. And then we have that, like, moment of, like, I guess this is it.
Because you're never going to get over it.
Yeah. And then, it gets better.
Bah!
So then she has sex with me. Right after saying no to my proposal. So now there's this tiny glimmer of hope still. As soon as we get done having sex, she puts her clothes on. She's like, I don't love you anymore. And then left. And then ever since that moment, that's the Wendy and Roach that everybody knows.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Wow. There's an intense revelation for you.
Yes. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say this is exactly what I pictured when when I decided to do it this way, but I mean, I was hoping for stuff like that. Because listen, if anyone listens to this and they know who you are, this is a moment for them to know that, like, you're a human being and stuff like this happens to people that are performers. Like, yeah. This is a real life thing. And we're real people with real emotions.
That's what sent me into my dickhead downward spiral, because I had thought I had gotten it out of my system.
Right.
Then I put my heart on the line, get told no, then have sex, then get told she's not in love with me anymore. So now my whole mind, my whole outlook on love and women is fucked.
Yeah.
So that's what made me turn into a womanizer. Hmm. That's what made me not give a shit about how women felt or how my actions were hurting them. That moment, that one night, New Year's Eve, is what created the monster.
Wow.
Which is weird, because it was my own fault. I just didn't expect it to go down the way it did. So that's what, like, I was hooking up with people's girlfriends. I was hooking up, like...
Maybe that's, like, I didn't, before when I said, why were you always a cheater? Maybe,
no, it was
in my mind, you didn't cheat on people, but you helped, but you were...
I was the cheater.
You were the, yeah, yeah.
After that, like, because I hooked up with people's girlfriends. Right. I screwed up some relationships. Nothing I'm proud of.
Right.
And then I just got tired of it. I got tired of having that reputation. I got tired of being that person. Literally, like, the looking yourself in the mirror and making yourself nauseous at the person that you became.
Right.
So, I took some time off. Like, almost like a full year. That's when, like, UWA Elite started at my house. That was the only place I was wrestling. I wasn't wrestling anywhere else. And then I came back with the new persona, a new attitude. I had started dating a new girl in the business, but we kept it a secret and never cheated on her. Just that urge is gone.
Well, yeah, I've seen you with her, and I definitely see a difference in not only who you are, but who you are in a couple. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I was with you. I've known you since, I mean.
You knew me with Alexa. You knew me with Reyna.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and before that, I met you. I think I met you when you were with the first girlfriend.
Yeah. Long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's what? Oh, that's 02, 03, so that's 15 years. Or not, it's 12 years. Yeah, 12, 13 years, yeah. I've known you. And just in those 12, 13 years, I don't think I've seen you as a happier person. I mean, when I first met you, obviously, there was that goofiness of being a 21-year-old. But
yeah.
I think that in life, I haven't seen you happier than I've seen you in the last couple of years.
Well, my girlfriend now is just she's the most genuine human being on the planet. And she's one of the guys.
Right.
Like, and she doesn't like wrestling, which is so good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love the fact that she'll force herself to come to a show to support me and stuff. But there is no, like, with me and Wendy, or me and Reyna, like, those were two in wrestling relationships. So even when it was just us, every now and again, it would turn into wrestling.
Was Reyna a in-wrestling person, or was
she... I met her through wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember her being an in-wrestling, but I don't remember if you had brought her in, or if she was just kind of...
No, I met her through wrestling. I met her at an NWS show.
Oh, okay.
And I looked at her, and I'm like, need to have...
Red hair and tits.
Need to have... But she was also a super cool girl, too, but we made the smart decision of keeping our relationship relatively secret.
Right.
To an
Yeah, because you never brought her around.
No, because... I know what, like, wrestling relationships turn into, and that's not what I wanted in that relationship. Never cheated on her either, and she did the same thing. Like, I helped her get better, then she got into Shimmer, Ring of Honor, Jersey All Pro.
She was in Ring of Honor?
Chikara, yep.
Where was I?
You, this was, like, disappeared. During your, like, exile.
Fuck wrestling. That's my moment.
Did all of those, like I said, Chikara, Ring of Honor. She was on TNA. She did a TNA tryout. She actually had a WWE tryout.
Get out of here.
She actually, remember the one that Bandito Jr. just went on in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Morgan was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Reyna was there.
She's still...
No, that's the thing.
Oh, how far...
So...
How long ago was that?
Right after we broke up, she did the same thing that Alexa did. She got super popular, did all these things, and then just quit and became a singer.
Nice.
And then I guess WWE still had her contact information like all these years later, like 3-4 years later after she had
this was an invitation only camp?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
And they hit her up like, hey, you're still wrestling? You're interested? And she just went and did it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You still talk to her?
No.
Okay.
No, we actually...
It was just a quick...
We didn't have like what me and Alexa had as a breakup.
Okay.
She lives in Long Island. Her family's Jewish. They're rich. They didn't approve of me. Because I'm not Jewish, because I didn't go to college and I don't make six figures.
You were the rebellious, like, did you show up on your, like,
no,
motorcycle?
That's the thing.
Like, it's flip like, off her dad as you pulled away with her on your back of your bike?
No, the first...
No helmet, babe.
The first 6 months of the relationship were amazing. Like, her family loved me. But the second that, like, love and talking about the future came into play... They were like, well, we thought this guy was just like a fling thing, like a date, not your boyfriend. So then me and her tried to make the relationship work secretively, keeping it from her parents. And between her being 2 hours away, her parents not approving, us having to keep it a secret, just way too stressful. So we just both made the adult decision to just step away from it. I always thought that we were going to get back together. But to me, it's like an out of sight, out of mind. Like, I can't get over somebody if I still talk to them.
Right.
So the only way for it to work was for us to cut each other off completely. And I haven't spoken to her since.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you. All
right.
All this stuff we've been talking about, like with girls and like not cheating, but, you know, being the cheaty and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Has any of that triggered any like spirituality in you? Like, is there any sort of like religion? Is there any sort of like thoughts of like the next level, you know, or is it just being a good person here on earth that kind of like made you want to change who you are? You said the reputation is one of the main things why you changed. You knew you were gonna have to be in wrestling, and most of the people in wrestling thought a certain way about you, and you didn't want them to think that way about you anymore, so you changed. But was there any sort of like, or is there any sort of spiritual inspiration inside of you? And if not, what do you feel about that kind of stuff?
It's not a spirituality. It's not a karma thing. And actually, me changing who I was, I mean, yeah, there was some basis because of the reputation I had, and I didn't want people to look at me like that anymore. But it was more for me, meeting certain people, like Morgan, Reyna, or Heather, my girlfriend now, are two of the most genuinely nice people that I've ever met in my life. And I took myself out of the situation and looked at it from the outside looking in and think about, if I perform this action, they're going to be hurt. They're going to feel this way. And I can't deal with that anymore. I can't deal with other people being hurt or their lives lessened because of what I did or my action. I can't do that. I can't stand the idea of me doing something and it negatively affecting other people. And that, I mean, I don't consider that spirituality.
Right.
I just consider that, like, be a good person.
Yeah, but, you know what I mean? Is there something for the future that is in your head that's making you say, I need to be a good person for this? Or is it just because, like, for me, this is delving into, like, meaning of life stuff for me. Because what I kind of feel like meaning of life is to make as many people happy as you possibly can, which will bring more joy into your life. And I think that's kind of the big secret, is that if you don't want to be a miserable person, don't act miserable to other people, and you won't have a miserable environment. So
it's like a do unto others type deal.
Yeah, but it's not. But the reward is ultimately living in a more positive environment.
Well, I mean, that does have like a karmatic thing to it. Like, if you do good, good things happen.
Right.
Me, still, it has nothing to do with me wanting to, like, I feel that I deserve to feel like shit and have a shitty life for the rest of my life based on the 3 or 4 years that I was a shitty person. I still look at back at that with, like, some of the biggest regrets of my entire life. I have come to terms with the fact that I think karma is going to cash in on me one day, blah, blah, blah. I just don't want to hurt people. I don't want, like I said, I don't want people's lives to be affected negatively. It's not like I think, oh man, you better do some good shit or you're going to go to hell. Like, that isn't the thought process that I have. It's just, you were a shitty person for a long time. You should probably try to not be a shitty person anymore. And you should just try to be nice to people and try to help people, and instead of cheating on them or stealing or stealing from them.
Right. Well, here, there's a quote that I want to read to you. And, because listen, I don't believe in that you deserve to have a bad now because of your bad past. I don't believe in that. And, I don't know if you know who Eckhart Tolle is.
I've heard the name, yeah.
Right. So he wrote a book. It's called, like, The Power of Now. And it's all about, like, forgetting the past and forgetting the future and living in right now. Like, all of his quotes are, this is the only moment you have. And it's the only moment you'll ever have, because the only thing you're ever going to live in is right now.
Yeah.
Like, the past is whatever, and the future is going to happen, but whether you're worried about it or not, it's going to happen. So why not live in the only thing that you're ever going to have, which is this moment? So his quote is, all negativity is caused by an accumulation of psychological time and denial of the present. Unease, anxiety, tension, stress, worry, all forms of fear are caused by too much future and not enough presence. Guilt, regret, resentment, grievances, sadness, bitterness, and all forms of non-forgiveness are caused by too much past and not enough present. So his basic idea is, if we stop worrying about the bullshit that happened or the bullshit that's going to happen, our lives would be so much better, because you wouldn't have to worry about the baggage that you're carrying around, because that's all it is. Like, everything that happens to you is just not what happens to you, but your thoughts about what happens to you. Do you understand what I mean?
No, yeah, 100%.
So you carrying around this baggage of, I was a shitty person for 4 or 5 years, or I think you said 3, so I'm sorry if I'm adding 2 or 3 shittiness years to you.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Everybody else needs
right,
to do
that. Right, right. But you know what I mean? You carrying around this baggage of, because I'm sure that you live a certain way now because you're like, well, everyone thinks I'm a piece of shit, so now I have to go even above what they think of me. But I kind of feel like there's no reason for that. And everything he reads or everything he writes, it's all, you know, give and take. You take what you like, you don't take all of it. You throw out the shit that you don't agree with, the shit that you think is lame.
You take the good, the take bad, take it all, and then you have
the facts of life. But that reading, the stuff that I'm doing now and reading all about living in the present, is all stuff that is helping me change my mindset on things that have happened to me and things that are going to happen to me. Like, I even almost, and this is an almost, I'm not saying that I'm past it, but I almost ate a raw oyster. I hate seafood. Hate it. But I'm more...
What an example.
Well, because this is the example, is that, like, my fear of, oh my god, I've never had this before, it's probably disgusting, but fuck it, man. Who cares if it's disgusting? It's gonna be in my mouth for... And this is... Because this is gonna come... Like, if you dub dicks into what I'm saying, it could come off as, hey man, whatever, I like dicks. You can now isolate that. And,
yeah.
But, what I'm saying is that too much fear of, well, one time I had something that was fishy and I don't like seafood and it's disgusting to me has now changed my life to live around the possibility of not trying anything because of that one time I was like, ah, this doesn't taste good. I would have never discovered so many things that I like because if I live my life by saying, you know, I had a bad experience with this once, now I have to avoid it at all costs. I would, and that's what I'm kind of changing now. I'm trying to accept more of, hey, we're living right now. I know that this happened. I know that there are things that are going to happen, but nothing is bothering me in this moment. So why not just like what I'm doing instead of saying, oh, well, I'm going to be miserable in 2 days. So why am I not miserable now?
Yeah. I believe in an optimistic outlook. I do. It's just... It's hard to sweep all that stuff under the rug because I do still have regrets about it because I'm still feeling the effects of what I did. So it's hard to forget about the past when you're a good person, people still look at you like that person.
Yeah, but that's their choice.
No, I know. I know 100%. I think that you should read that quote to Alexa.
Well, I'm... I think she can accept what happened without having to embrace you as a person. Like, she's probably like, all right, fuck it. If he's happy, he's happy. But she doesn't have to choose to, you know, involve herself in anything that you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, and even if she does see you, I mean, maybe that's just her choice. Like, there's people, I mean, I play rec hockey, right? And there's guys I know that have done some dirty things and have hurt kids that I play with. Like, a kid tore his ACL on my hockey team. I don't know if you know what a slew foot is. It's when you kick the person's feet out from behind them, but also grab the front and push back. So you're kind of creating them to fall down. And a kid on my team tore his ACL because some jerk off in a league we pay $90 to be a part of, it decided it was the Stanley Cup final, which is on right now and I'm missing. But, you know, that I won't shake his hand. We've played them 3 times since then, and there's been moments where I even wanted to just chop the shit out of him with my stick, and I didn't because I don't want to cause harm on someone. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm still struggling with that, and no one's perfect. Everyone's always going to have those moments where all the shit that they believe in means nothing because they're in the moment and they're like, yeah, well, fuck that. I know I've been preaching about it for the last, you know, years, but he's a dick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess it really hit me all at once, like the regret portion of it, when, remember the story of me dying?
I do remember that. I do remember walking around and driving around at 3 a.m. trying to find out if you were dead or alive.
Long story short, somebody started a rumor that I had...
Can you just admit it?
I had died.
Just say it. Just say you did it.
It wasn't.
Fuck.
No.
I thought we were going to get another revelation that you were just going to finally be like, it was me.
It was me, Austin. No, and it was maybe 6 months to a year after me and Alexa had broken up. And somebody called her to ask her if she knew anything and told her the rumor, like, that there was this. Oh, like, did you hear, like, there's a rumor that, like, that Roach may have gotten into a car accident and died? And her response was, like, okay. And
but why
that moment alone to literally, and this is taken out, like, all right, we didn't date, we didn't do anything, like, this is nothing else other than you fucked up so bad that if you died, this person wouldn't care that you died. That's a hard thing to swallow. Like, when I was told that, like, that I didn't even think I deserved that. There's not a lot of people that can know what that feels like. So it's hard to even explain that, because nobody can be like, oh, I see where you're coming from.
Right.
No. Nobody has ever wished death on you.
Well, she didn't wish death on you.
Well, no, but she just didn't kind care of if it happened.
Yeah, like, she was kind of indifferent to your death.
Like, I'm not indifferent to people dying that I don't know, that I've never met. Like, death is a bad thing. You should always feel bad about
it. Right, but part of that whole thing is that it's not... She's allowed to feel however she wants to feel. And yes, maybe it hurts you, but that's her, man. And it has nothing to do with your life.
Oh, like
you living your life has nothing to do how anyone feels about you.
At this point, like, I've let go of that. Like, I don't dwell on that anymore. I find the humor in it now.
Well, I don't think like, there's humor in it, but...
What, no, but I'm saying, like, when people were making jokes about it at the awards dinner and different things she made a little joke about it, too.
But did she make a joke about you dying and not caring?
No.
I'm saying about us
and what I did and what happened.
I thought we were talking about she made a joke that like, remember that time you almost died and I didn't care? Knee slapper.
I don't dwell on it anymore, but that is always something that will stick with me is like literally like I could have died and she could have cared less.
Yeah, but you move on.
No, I know. I don't dwell on that anymore. Right. I use that to know what mistakes not to make again, what not to do, because I did all that shit. I see what it does. And now I just won't do it anymore.
Right, which is good because I think some of the keys to life is making the mistakes, fucking up, and learning from them. I mean, like, it's easy for me to sit in a situation or in a place that I'm in and say, you know, I've never fucked up that bad. Like, it's easy for me to judge you. And I think that there has been moments in my life where I have unfairly judged you for things that you've done. And, I mean, that's another thing that I'm working on because I'm consciously always trying to tell myself not to judge people.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has their demons. You know, my demons are that I live inside my head and I'm trying to tell myself to be a certain person because that's the person that I want to be. You know, I'm sure that's the same way for you, just like there is temptation with everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I'm struggling to be the person I want to be. And I never had to because I never realized that part of the key to being a mature adult is struggling with things and trying to be better than just what you are. Because when I was in high school, I was like, fuck it, I am who I am, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care who gets in the way. Like, that's who I was.
Rebel teenager.
Right. Well, I mean, it was a rebel teenager because my brother, who was 2 years older than me, never wanted me around, right? My sister had moved off to college, so she was never around. My mother was going through some menopausal, like, I'm going to go fucking crazy every time I walk through the door because there's a speck of... something that shouldn't be here, it's here. And I'm going to yell for 20 minutes about it. Like, and my dad was just that type of guy who was just never around. So I felt alone my entire childhood. And I kind of lashed out in the way of saying, well, fuck it. Like, if no one cares, like, hello. You know, and I did things to try to get the attention. And they still were like, all right, here's a rap on the ass. And then move along. We're still not going to give you attention.
You know, think that's part of why you became a wrestler?
Possibly. My dad's a huge wrestling fan. You know,
when you're a wrestler, there's no better attention.
Here's this for revelations. I hope that my dad doesn't listen to this because it might hurt his feelings. Which, you probably don't give a fuck anyway. But my dad's a huge wrestling fan. Talks to me about Raw all the time. Talks to me about Jay Lethal all the time. Has never seen me wrestle.
Really?
Has never seen me wrestle. I've wrestled over 300, maybe 400 matches in the last 15 years. Wow, that's impressive. She just fucking opened the door. Yeah. But anyway, 300, 400 matches, and my dad has never seen me wrestle. And my brother's seen me once or twice, and both times I've lost, and he's like, fuck that, I'm never coming back, you never win.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't have that issue with my parents now. My mom used to never be able to do it just because she was worried, not because she didn't want to. But right now, it's the most awesome because my brothers are like 12 and 13, like that perfect wrestling fan age. So getting to see them come watch me wrestle and... having been that kid.
I don't think I've met your brothers. Do they come? Maybe they not. Come to shows? Yeah,
they come to shows. They're at just about every show.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. So those are the two people that are rooting for you.
Yeah.
Zing. Zinga. Got you with that one.
But, I mean, yeah, I ended up in a similar situation. I think like that's why I have the personality that I have. I didn't have siblings. I was a single kid. My mom had me when she was 19, so she had no idea what she was doing. Then I was raised by all women. My dad wasn't there until I was 8. It was this very weird way to get brought up. And that's why I think my personality became so outgoing, because I was a single kid. And I'm like, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Give me attention.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was look at me, look at me. Yeah. And it's weird because it takes sometimes these conversations to hear things like this, and then now you're like, wow,
explains a lot.
Well, but not even that, but like in my head, I shit on people that are so look at me, look at me, and I was that guy. You know what I mean? Like I'll look at a kid like, for example, Robbie Roller right now, who's doing things in UWA Elite, or did because he's not there anymore, because he was like, look at me, look at me. You know, and now he's not, and I always like, look at this piece of shit. Like, he wants attention that bad that he's going to just yell and scream in the locker room until he gets his way. Like, no. And maybe I should just talk to the person instead of just dismissing their attitude.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has their underlying issues, their underlying things that are causing them to act the way they are.
Which is why I wanted to start this podcast, to talk to people about why they are the way they are.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Which even if you never release it.
Right. Well, no, I do, because it's today. I put up the first episode. Oh, so today, cool. You're probably, whoever's listening to this, which is probably going to be me later. today is June 5th, and I just released the Sean Damage McNellis episode, which was, I think we recorded it probably about a month ago. And this one will probably be either the first week of July or...
Oh, that's my birthday week.
Oh, yeah. So it'll be the...
Do you release them on Fridays?
Yes, Fridays.
July 3rd.
So it'll be on your birthday.
It's Friday.
It'll be your birthday. Your birthday's July 3rd?
Yeah.
It's weird that I've known you for 12 years and still don't... Oh, you know, I do know that because I have pictures in the time hop every year. And I know that your birthday week is the same as my sister's. My sister turns 39 this year on July 4th. So I know that it's always that same weekend, because I remember coming to your birthday party after I went to a Phillies game with my sister.
Oh.
So that's how I do remember that your birthday is in that region.
And then we usually get like a little mini birthday thing when I go to...
Stop being a prick, dog!
When I go to Quest's house for his big 4th of July party and stuff, I get all my residual happy birthdays.
Yes. Those are that's like my favorite... thing of the year.
I love that I get to go to it now, because guess who didn't get invited to it for like 6-7 years, because Alexa got them in the divorce. And guess who doesn't show up now, because I'm there.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's pretty awkward.
That's what I'm saying, man. Still,
I mean, it sucks, but it is what it is, I guess. And I hate that, and I hate when people say it, and I just said it. That's the worst. It is what it is like the worst.
I hate that it's a term, because it literally describes nothing. Yeah. Everything is what it is.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It isn't always what it is.
It is always what it is.
It's not.
Unless it's an illusion. Ooh,
and here we go.
Are you segueing?
Yes, because listen, we're an hour and 16 minutes in.
Oh, we've been talking for so long.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to sit through this whole thing.
No, bullshit, because Steve Max is an hour and 45, and I listened to it the other day, and I thought it was awesome. well, I mean, I did, and I hate listening to myself. So for me to sit through an hour and 45 minutes of myself is two thumbs up.
If there's somebody actually listening to this, my email... callmecorvus @gmail.com. Email me. Tell me that you made it this far into the podcast, and I will send you a free bit of Eric Corvus merchandise.
Get out of town. I'm going to email you from some random one so I can get some Eric Corvus merchandise. But at the end of every podcast, I ask the guest to say, hey, if you're still listening at the end of this, tweet me this phrase so I know that you listened to the entire podcast. So with today being the first time I'm releasing one, hopefully I get some... @ArcadiaNJ tweets that say Kennedy Rose, because that's...
I'm getting a phone call. No. Stupid bill collectors.
Nice.
Why do they want their money?
Jerks. So anyway, the segue was, you were saying it is what it is, and everything is what it always is. I had this conversation that blew my mind all over the walls. There wasn't an inch of wall that my brain wasn't on, because that's how much it blew my brain apart. When we look at things, this is awesome. And
is
I
this
get so
a revelation?
Excited. Yeah. Well, no, I'm just, it's not even a revelation. It's just something that I love to talk about. And I like to tell other people the things that I hear to see if they are like, whoa, as I am. If you get Keanu Reeves on this, like, whoa.
Are my brains going to be on your wall?
Hopefully.
Whoa.
Whoa. I know Kung Fu.
All right.
This is something that it's from, I believe it's Deepak Chopra. He's a, so I don't know if he's really like a personal, like one of those guys that speaks at things, but he's, Michael Jackson loved him.
He's an Indian philosopher.
Yeah, he's awesome. He said, when we look at things, right? So let's just say, for example, a tree. We're not looking at the tree for what it is. We're not looking at it for the wood that it is, for the chlorophyll that's going through it, for the leaves. We're not. When we look at things like that, we're actually looking at what our mind has created over however many years. So when you look at this table, you're not looking at a table. You're looking at what your mind is telling you has been a table your entire life. So you might see a dinner table where you had dinner when your mother was there, but your dad wasn't. And the same thing with me. When I see a baseball bat, maybe I don't see just a baseball bat. I see that, you know, when I played Little League, my dad is a baseball coach, but never came to any games, you know? So you have weird feelings about things that you see. So it isn't what it is. It's actually the last 30 years of conditioning that your mind has made this thing to be.
Yeah. I actually, and that's cool that you actually had that mindset, because that's usually a pothead mindset.
Yeah. And dude, for not being a pothead, I fucking love stoner movies. I love stoner talk, and I do not smoke weed.
So speaking of stoner talk, I'm a smoker. And I got to a conversation like that recently where the only reason that we have any feelings about anything is because we've been conditioned to.
Yes.
We only call this a table because we were taught that it is a table.
Right.
And
is there anything in the entire world that we just look at for what it is and not for what we were taught it was?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And that's crazy.
And then
we've taken people's word for it since we were born. Yeah. And these people we've never met.
And then it trickled down into, like, the only reason anyone is a religion is because they were conditioned and raised to believe in that religion. The only reason anything happens is because you were taught. How many decisions have you actually just made on your own that you weren't conditioned and taught and molded to feel that way about?
And that is why I do believe in God, not the dude with the beard that sits up there and throws lightning bolts at people.
That's Zeus.
That's the same thing. God and Zeus, same guy. But because if you look around and the way things were built and the way things, there had to be a starting point for things to get somewhere. You know what I mean? So if you trace back the fact that this is a table and it comes from Latin, and Latin comes from this guy, and this guy comes from here, eventually there has to be one thing.
This is table.
Right.
I call this table.
I call this,
Or like, who is the dude who fucking called an orange and a carrot a carrot?
This is the, I've had this talk with a lot of people lately, and it's blows my mind. And one of the podcasts I listen to is this guy, Pete Holmes. And he was on TBS after Conan. He had his own show. It got canceled, whatever. But he still has his own podcast, and I listen to it all the time. And he's not a stoner. He does smoke every once in a while. He talks about it. But this is the kind of stuff that he talks about every – and he's kind of been my inspiration for having a podcast because of what people start to talk about on his podcast. And this is one of the things they always talk about, is that he used to be in an improv troupe that you kind of have a warm-up activity by calling things – something completely different than what they are. So you say, oh, that's a vacuum, but now it's an apple. So I mow my sky with this apple. Like, and people are like, oh, what the fuck are you talking about? But that's what, like, that's kind of crazy that it all came from some dude just sitting in a room saying, and now it's a room because that's where he was sitting and he called it a room.
Yeah.
It hurts my brain.
It does, because you try to think about, like, everything. Like, who was the first person to call that a computer? Like, who was the first person to call that?
And why is Matt and Eric and Bob and Greg? Why are they names? Like, why are they dudes' names? Like, where did that come from? Somebody was like, oh, no, this is acceptable for a guy's name.
Yeah. It's a really easy way to give yourself a headache.
Which I already have. Thank you.
Because now your brain is literally working on overdrive.
And then it's fried.
And then you're like laying in your bed trying to fall asleep and thinking about, oh, who was the first person to ever sleep in a bed? Who was the person that called it bed? Why are they sheets? Who invented sheets? Why did God create bed bugs? It's so inconvenient.
Fucking dick. Which leads me to another thing that he talks about is... trying to shut off your brain so that you can think clearly.
Oh, I wish I can do that.
He talks about a sensory deprivating tank.
Oh yeah. Oh wow. This podcast sounds a lot like Joe Rogan's
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, yeah. But that's where it came from. That's where it came from.
Yeah, Joe Rogan talks about that shit all the
right,
time.
Right. He was talking. Pete Holmes was talking to another person who had heard it from Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And that's how it came up. But that kind of stuff is so intense to me that I don't even know if I would be able to do something like that. Like, just sit.
Dude, I remember the first time, because I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast. If you like revelation type talk and
right,
like really getting deep with, listen to Joe Rogan. If you like his podcast, listen to Joe Rogan's. But yeah, he was talking about that chamber and he said it's the trippiest experience of your life because you literally feel, you don't feel like a person. You don't feel like a body. You just feel like part of the world. You just feel like energy in the world. And just listening to the way that he explains it makes me so curious, because that my biggest problem, like, I have three things about myself that I don't like. And one of them is that I can't turn my brain off. I am constantly thinking. It makes it really difficult to fall asleep. Like, I'm a chronic insomniac because I can never turn my brain off. I always have to be thinking or worrying or stressing about something. Ooh. And it's so annoying. I want that chamber. I want that deprivation chamber. Like, and it's there's water in it too, and the water is the same exact temperature as your body, so you don't know when your body ends and the water begins because it's the exact same temperature. Like, that's such like a just a sick concept to me. I want to try one so bad, but they're like $1 million.
Are they really that much?
They're super, super expensive.
But they're expensive.
And like, Joe Rogan has one in his house.
But they're expensive for you to just go to and have like
session. I don't know if there's like places like that you could just like, hey, I'm going to.
No, there are.
There are.
Yeah, because as soon as I heard it, I went to a bar and was talking to a friend of mine about the fact that I had just heard about it. And he was like, dude, I need to fucking do it right now. So we looked it up and I think there's like 2 or 3 in this area.
Really?
That you can try out.
Oh, man, I want
to
do
that.
Yeah,
but that's what I mean. I'm wondering how much it costs to just, like, be in a tank for, like, it just bugs me.
Like, I think at one point when/if your podcast takes off, we need to do, like, a special episode where, like, we record an episode right after getting out of the tank. Like, what was going on in your
brain? I'm worried about that. Like, I'm worried about the lights coming back on and just being like...
Oh, like, just leave me in the tank.
But not even that, but, like, living the rest of my life after just going through that and probably having some crazy... Because I'm a huge believer on the fact that there's kind of two people inside of me. It's not just Arcadia, who I am, it's my mind and me. Like, my mind makes instinctual decisions that I don't always agree with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your body does the same thing. Your mind does the same thing. So I kind of feel like there's two of it. Like, you can control, like, if for me to talk to myself about, no, you're doing another set, or, you know, let's go for a jog right now. That's kind of like a dualistic thinking, that there is a separation between who you are, like your soul and your mind, because your mind is just part of this body.
The physical part, and
right, and then there's kind of like that soul inside of you that knows what you believe in, but for some reason you're eating pizza even though your mind is telling you don't fucking eat that pizza because you're gonna be a fat shit.
Oh yeah, trust me, I know that guy very well.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean, like, isn't that kind of like a trippy thing that, like, you think it's not just one being?
But that's what is so intriguing to me about that chamber, because you strip away that physical being.
Right.
And you are just
crazy.
That soul part of you.
That's so crazy.
and you're just
well because that's what Pete Holmes said was that the first you have to do it for like an hour and a half because the first 45 minutes to an hour is your mind going fucking crazy like why can't I feel anything what's going on
what are you doing
yeah so your mind is and then when your mind gets exhausted from being like what the fuck is going on then you can settle into all of the things that you are now need to think about.
Yeah, I would love like I honestly think that would be like a life-changing thing because maybe it can teach you how to have some control over that.
Yeah.
And if you can have some control over like that inner monologue, endless opportunities, endless
cuz yeah.
There's so many times where like I can do this but I talk myself out of it
yeah.
or like I'm trying to accomplish this but I second guess it. If you can control that aspect of yourself, it's literally limitless.
Yeah.
Literally limitless. Now I want to do it.
Yeah.
I literally want to leave here
and just look at
and go find a
just
chamber.
Well, just Google it when we're done here.
Yeah.
But listen, we have this. We're approaching a minute. Hour.
Wow, man, it's been so long.
1 minute. See, this is that fucking trippiness. We've only been talking for a minute.
Yeah.
What?
Time.
1 minute.
Time travel.
Time stands still.
What? Brains on the wall.
This is such a pot talk podcast for someone who just does not even
you know.
Like three times in my entire life.
That's the thing. I was never really a pot smoker. I only started doing it to help myself sleep and because I didn't want to take painkillers.
And I hope my fiance never listens to this podcast because she would fucking punch me in the face if she ever heard me say this. But I'm actually intrigued to kind of figure out if it would help me a little bit. You know what I mean? If maybe I would enjoy that kind of feeling of relaxing a little bit and getting into a different brain mode.
It was easy for me because it wasn't like my friends smoking pot that made me want to smoke pot.
Right.
My dad smokes pot. He has his whole entire life. It helps him a lot. He's had like so many like injuries. He's like chronic pain, all of these different things. And the first time I ever smoked weed was with my dad because he wanted me to do it in a responsible way with weed that he knows he can trust that isn't laced with bullshit. And
wanted laced weed with bullshit? I'm never trying it.
But he wanted me to make the decision for myself. He didn't want me to not smoke pot because Dare told me not to smoke pot. And he didn't want me to smoke pot because my friend said it was cool. He said, I don't want you to try pot, but if you're curious, do it with me. See how it makes you feel. Make your own decision about it. And I thought that was like one of the best like parenting things.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then I did it with him and then I wasn't really a smoker. Like I wasn't known as a pot smoker. I did it maybe like once, like every
right.
6-7 months. But once I moved into my own house, now I'm an adult. Like, I'm 30. I have all these different responsibilities. It's even harder to sleep. The 14 years of wrestling is starting to catch up with chronic pain and stuff. Like, it helps. It helps me sleep. It helps me clear my head. And it helps the pain go away. I rarely ever smoke just, like, recreationally. Unless it's like a specific, like a hangout at my house and somebody wants to smoke, then that's different. But I'm never just like, hey, let's hang out and smoke weed. That's not me. I smoke it when I need it or if I'm in like a social situation.
Gotcha. All right. Well, listen, this is where I'm going to try to end the hour and a half.
I like how you say try.
Yeah. I'm going to try because you haven't seen me try to end this before with other people, but it usually doesn't go well, it's like, yeah, I'm going to end. What do you think about this? And Steve
Something Mack, you say in your closing line is going to spark another conversation.
Yeah, Steve Mack definitely did not make it easy on me. He just kept going, and he was like, oh, we're at an hour and 15. You're trying to stop? Let's go an hour and 30. And then we got an hour and 30, and he was like, oh, let's go an hour and 45.
Just a quick side note, just because you brought
up
Steve.
No,
is going to be really quick. Did you see, it was EYFBO versus the Hit Squad at Beyond this past weekend.
I heard about it.
Match was out of control. Steve Mack took a double gorilla press from EYFBO headfirst into the turnbuckle. There's a clip of it online, so when this is over, you have to see it.
I will.
One of the most bananas things
I've
seen.
Is there anything that you want to promote, like where you're going to be or your Twitter or your Facebook or anything?
I mean, social media stuff is all super easy. Like Twitter's at Eric Corvus, Instagram at Eric Corvus, Facebook / Eric Corvus. I'm super easy to get a hold of. I actually took the majority of June off because I just dislocated my shoulder at UWA Elite last week. And then I was in War Games this past Sunday, recovering from a dislocated shoulder and being all beat up and bloody. So I had taken off the majority of June because I thought I was going to get really hurt in War Games, and I didn't want to have to cancel any bookings. So June's pretty much light, but any of that social media, like I always update it with my upcoming shows and shit. UWA Elite, June 26th in Sayreville.
June 26th? Oh, yeah, it's Friday. It's Friday night, right?
Friday night. You versus Brian Brass.
It is me versus Brian Brass, but by the time that people hear this, that would have already happened, and I will be the UWA Elite Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, that is true.
And I can't say heavyweight because it's not a heavyweight championship. So let me reverse that. UWA Elite Champion.
There you go.
No heavyweight. Yeah, but so thank you for doing this. I had a blast. Once again, just for you guys that are listening, my Twitter is at ArcadiaNJ. That is ArcadiaNJ.
Did you almost forget how to spell your own name?
I have to look at it in my head. I have to like program it in there because
you literally just look like JD from John Dorian
from Scrubs
looking up.
But besides that, your fans, my fans, I want them to tweet you if they do listen to this 1 hour and 35-minute podcast, and I want you to give them a phrase.
Okay. Well, I mean, I threw one out earlier today, so if you remember that one, you'll get a free bit of merchandise.
I don't remember that one.
You don't?
No, but I'm going to listen back.
Remember the callmecorvus@gmail.com? Email me if you've made it through this far into the podcast, and I'll send you a free bit of merchandise.
Yeah, but you didn't say...
No, I'm just saying, so if I get some emails from that, I know they made it that far.
Yeah, but now...
Now you're making it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And I would like your podcast to get successful, and I would like more people to tweet it out and listen to it. So my phrase will be... Whatchamacallit.
So tweet at Eric Corvus, whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit, because I actually brought a whatchamacallit candy bar with me. Very underrated candy bar. One of my favorites.
I've never had one, I don't think.
So good.
All right, so with that, we will see you next time. Cue the White Dragon Podcast Network outro.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at WhiteDragonPN.